Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I am going to be speaking to you today from 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you would like to follow along with me, we will be in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And one verse will be our text. This is a favorite verse of mine. It's a powerful verse. This is a wonderful verse. And it's verse 17. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. It says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That's a wonderful verse of Scripture. Wonderful. The Apostle Paul is the one who penned this. And he said in verse 15 that he was the chief of sinners. And if you've never thought about that and never pondered that, that's an amazing thing to hear. The Apostle Paul, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, God's apostle. He said, "I am the chief of sinners." He announced it to everybody. "I'm the chief of sinners." He didn't say, "I was the chief of sinners." He said, "I am. I am the chief of sinners." But in verse 16, he said, "I obtained mercy. I'm the chief of sinners, but I obtained mercy," because that's who Christ came to save. He came to save sinners. And that's what I am. So he said, "I obtained mercy." And all of God's sinful people who have obtained mercy, just like Paul did, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of them have this to say in return to the Lord who saved them. All of them. They say in verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Those final words, those concluding words, are sometimes referred to as a benediction. I'm sure you've heard that before. Someone will give a benediction. That's closing words, final comments. There are benedictions all over this glorious book, God's Word, the Scripture. There are benedictions all over the place. I want us to look at a few of them. I want us to enjoy a few of these together, and then we'll come back and look more closely at the one here in our text. I want to begin with Numbers chapter 6. If you're following along with me, look with me at Numbers chapter 6. Our Lord is the one who gave this benediction. And he said in Numbers 6, verse 22, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." The Lord told Moses, "I want you to tell Aaron and his sons, the priests, to tell the people. You tell the people. This is my final words, my heart concluding words to my people, my chosen people." Verse 24, he said, "You tell them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." He said, "You tell them that. You tell them that that's what I have to say to them. Those are my final words to them. I will bless you. You tell them I said that. I'll bless you. I'll keep you. I'll make my face shine upon you. I'll be gracious unto you. I'll lift up my countenance upon you, and I'll give you peace. And where does God do that for his people? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll bless them in Christ. All the spiritual blessings of God are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will place them in Christ, and I'll bless them in him, and I'll keep them in him. And I'll show favor and kindness, make my face shine upon them, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful final word to hear from the Lord. This one is a short benediction, but I love how this one ends. If you look with me at Psalm 89, it says in Psalm 89, verse 52, "Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen." Amen and amen. He said one amen is not enough. David said, I have two things to say about that. Amen and amen. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Blessed be the Lord. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3 verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's a glorious benediction. That's a glorious benediction. I pray that God's final word might reach the heart of a sinner who's crying, "There's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. I don't see how God could have mercy on me after what I've done, after seeing what I am continually. Just a wretched sinner." Well, here's the word. "Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." He's able to wash the vilest offender, cleanse the vilest sinner, make him clean and pure in the blood of the Lamb, and seat him on the throne with Christ. That's amazing. That's just amazing. Hebrews 13, this is another good one. Hebrews 13, verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The God of peace. Now the God of peace, he said. What made him to be the God of peace? Well, it says he brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what made him to be the God of peace. He made peace. Sinful man was at war with him. Enmity against him, the scripture says. And that word is talking about you and talking about me. Every soul on earth, including God's chosen people, all were at enmity against him, enemies of him, at war with him. But he broke down that middle wall of partition between us and made peace. The Father chose a particular people to make peace with. He calls them his sheep. And he gave them to his Son, and his Son died for the sheep. His Son bore their rebellion and bore their enmity, bore their iniquity, bore their sin. And God judged them. in His own Son. And then the Spirit will call every single one of those people back to fellowship and union with God. And because of all that, they're made perfect in Him, and peace is made, the God of peace. Now, let me show you one more. This is the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. The end of Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." These benedictions, these concluding words, these are what God's people will be crying throughout all eternity. They'll be crying, "Thank God for these things. Thank God for these things." Across my page here, Revelation 1, the end of verse 5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Amen. Amen. That's what God's people will be crying. They'll be crying, "Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood." Thank God. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." God's people are going to cry these heart-concluding words. They're going to say, "This is the final word of my heart." And they're going to cry that for all eternity. They'll cry it to Christ their Savior for all eternity. And that includes the benediction that we're going to look at for our text this morning. If you go back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to just break this verse down and see what the Apostle Paul is writing in that, and as we say that, what we're saying in it. Number one, who are we speaking to here? Who are we speaking to? Well, it says, "Now unto the King." That's who we're crying to. We're crying to the King. We're crying to the King. "Now unto the one who wears the crown. Now unto the one who is in control." Some of the greatest peace that God's people will ever know on this earth is knowing that Christ their King is in absolute control at all times. Even while the Apostle Paul was in prison, they'd throw him in prison for preaching the gospel. He would say, "God put me here." And he said, "It's for the furtherance of the gospel." At all times, in all things, the King is in control. And that cry says, "Now unto the one who's worthy to sit on the throne." He is on the throne. He's worthy to sit on the throne. That's who we're crying to. That word King, when you look it up in the Bible dictionary, the concordance that tells you the meaning, the original meaning of these words, the word King means the sovereign. That's what it means. The sovereign. Now unto the sovereign. That's who we're crying to. The sovereign. If a sinner ever has his eyes open to see the Lord Jesus Christ as He truly is, not how man wrongfully thinks He is. Most people think of Him wrongly. They don't have a correct view of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know who He truly is. man has very foolishly and very ignorantly imagined him to be less than what he truly is. If a sinner, though, ever has his eyes open to see Christ in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, this is what he's going to see. He's going to see the sovereign. The sovereign, not a simple, plain, weak man who's begging others to help him and begging others to let him save them and such on and so forth. When they see Christ as he is, they're going to see a sovereign king on a throne, reigning and ruling over all things. They're going to see the controller. They're going to see the Lord God Almighty when they look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a couple of men who saw him as he is. All right, the first one is Job. Over in Job 42, it says in Job 42, verse 5, Job said, "I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself." He said, "Now that I've seen you, I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." I've got a changed view of you. That's what repentance is. A changed mind on these things. A changed mind on who he is. And he said, "I repent in dust and ashes." He went on to say, "I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to stop talking. I'm a fool. I see you as you are." Over in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah saw him. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Isaiah said, "Then said I," as soon as I saw that, "Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He said, "I've seen the King now." Over in Daniel chapter 3, this tells us, this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And this tells us in verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar threw them in, and he looked into that fiery furnace, verse 25, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men." He said, "Didn't we throw in three?" And they said, "Yeah, we did. We threw in three." He said, "Well, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." He looks like the Son of God. He looks like Jesus Christ. That's who Nebuchadnezzar is dealing with. That's who's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Now in chapter 4, the Lord dealt with him. He brought Nebuchadnezzar down because of his pride. And then whenever he restored Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 4, verse 34, it says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" None. None can stay his hand or say, "What are you doing?" Verse 36, he said, "At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of mine kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." He said, "The Lord put me back in my place as the king over Babylon." Verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he's able to abase. He said, I promise you he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar said, I thought I knew what a king was. No, he said, I've seen the king. I've seen the king. We're dealing with the King of Kings. That's who we're dealing with. One more. This is the man who penned our text over in Acts chapter 9. It says, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. If he found anyone who was worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What will you have me to do? Lord, that means king, sovereign. What will you have me to do? He saw immediately, it's not what I'm going to do with you. On his way to Damascus, he thought he was having his way with this man Jesus. But he saw immediately, oh no, it's not what I'm going to do with you. It's what are you going to do with me? Every soul who sees Christ as he is will say that. What are you going to do with me? He saw who was in absolute control of him. And he said, I'm your servant. You're not mine. I'm yours. If the Spirit ever reveals Christ as he is, that's what a sinner will say. Back in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17 says, Now unto the King eternal. That means forever. Forever. He is the King, and he is going to be forever. Whenever the angel told Mary that she would have this child, Christ the King, he said, Of his kingdom there'll be no end. No end. By God's grace, the one that his people want to be king, he will be king forever. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal. That means uncorruptible. That means cannot die, cannot decay, cannot be destroyed. He said, Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Never. The reason he said that is because he cannot die. He cannot. And in him, if the Father placed those people in him, whatever he is, they are. In him, we are immortal. 1 Corinthians 15 says, This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Death is going to forever be swallowed up in victory. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in his immortality. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. That means his fullness and his greatness and his majesty and his power and his glory, it'll never fully be seen. Never. His glory is past finding out. You cannot exhaust him, the fullness of him. He is both visible seated on his throne, and he is invisible right now with his people. He said, Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of you. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. That's what God's people say. That's what they cry. The only wise God, no other man, No other man. They cry, His word and His word alone. Only tell me what He has to say. I only hear, I only believe what You have to say, not what another man has to say. Verse 17 says, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be honor. That means value. All value is bestowed on Him. It goes on to say, and glory. That means all magnificence, all majesty, all praise, all worship is bestowed on Him. It goes on to say, forever and ever. As if forever is not long enough. It's forever and ever. And then He said at the end, Amen. Amen. That means that's the truth. That's what it means. Amen means so be it. So be it. Amen means I wholeheartedly agree. That's the truth. So be it. And I wholeheartedly agree. That word amen, again, when you look it up in the Bible dictionary, it comes from the word that means I believe. I believe. That's what it comes from. It comes from the word faithful, full of faith. I believe. I told you at the beginning of this that Paul said in verse 15 that he was the chief of sinners. He said, this is a faithful saying. What that means is this is an amen saying. This is an amen saying. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And every sinner that He came into the world to save will cry, Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.